Amen. Some of you saw me limping around a little bit this morning. I hurt something. In my left leg, I hadn't had it checked out yet. I don't want you to think I'm getting old or anything. But anyway, glad to be here. Appreciate Brother Chris Gillum taking over for me last week and doing a good job. Heard a good comment on him teaching the lesson. And again, I need all the help I can get there too. But I want you to open your Bibles a little different. We're still in John chapter 1, very long chapter there, but I'm not going there this morning on purpose. I want you to go to the book of Leviticus. We'll get into it in a little bit. I want you to go to chapter 23, and then we'll read a little bit perhaps in chapter 25. To try to watch my time, I want to be careful when you get over into some of the stuff that I'll refer to this morning. It's real easy to let the time slip away, and I just want to say a little bit about it. We know that most of you have been here in the past. Understand that I like to keep up with what's going on prophetically, and so I'm going to say a little bit about that this morning. I did kind of stay home pretty much yesterday because I hurt something in my left leg, and I've been limping around, giving time, hopefully, for God to clear it up. But anyway, it made me watch a little more news yesterday. I hope a lot of you are up a little bit on what was in the main news for Saturday. You know, they give you the leftovers on Saturday and Sunday pretty much, other than the ball games. But this was prime news yesterday, pretty much on all the channels, what's the terrorist attack in Israel. And I'm going to talk some about that this morning. What impressed me, though, was to think about something big prophetically is about to happen, is happening. Not about to, it is happening. And yet the world don't even know it. Most folks more interested in who won the ball game, all the other stuff that goes on. One day, when the Lord comes back, he's going to interrupt a lot of stuff. You understand what I'm saying? And people watching all the other stuff when some big stuff is happening. Again, if you've been under my ministry, and certainly under Brother Parsons now, he and I were just talking about it this morning in the office before I came out here, stuff is happening. We need to be aware of it. The blessed hope is our hope for the rapture. And we know that a lot of stuff, and there's no sign has to be fulfilled before the rapture could take place. It's imminent. We understand that. But at the same time, when we see things being done that tells us about other big events that probably happen after the rapture, we ought to really get excited that the rapture is closer. So I'm talking about people that are saved, Bible students that read the Bible, and I hope you do, and I hope you listen or read some about good preachers or others that expound the Bible. Listen, folks, we're in a day and time of deception, and they call it misinformation, but let's call it what it is, a bunch of plain lying going on. That's all it amounts to. But with all that said, you and I are not in darkness. The day should overtake us, the scripture says. We're supposed to know. We're children of the light. We have God's word. We believe it's God's word. And so I'll say a little bit about that this morning. Current news, of course, yesterday was the big attack, and for some reason caught Israel by surprise, like they like to do. And some terrible things have happened. If you saw the news, and again, I didn't sleep very good, so I watched it pretty late last night. The terrorists went in, got through the wall on the Gaza Strip and went into apartments and took out old folks and kids and slaughtered them in the streets, and then took them captive and took them back on the Gaza side of the line and put them in those tunnels where they've got their own ammunition stored to keep the Israelis from using them for shields to keep the Israelis from hitting them. It's a bad, bad situation. It's one of the worst that has happened in at least 50 to 70 years. And so it's big. Israel is saying that they are at war, and of course they are. Now that's the southern edge of Egypt, of Israel down and around the Gaza Strip. That's the front of fighting they're doing now. But we know they're surrounded by enemies. They're concerned about Hezbollah and the other groups coming in from the north, and we're seeing some Bible fulfilled. Whether it's fulfilled in the next few days or takes a little longer, the stage is set, folks, and the characters are coming out and playing their role just like the Bible said that they would. So I want you to consider a few things with me. See, Israel is God's time clock. You that study prophecy know that. And I remind you, the scripture talks about the time the fig tree would bud. The fig tree is Israel. And it budded back in 1948 when they finally came back in on May the 14th, and right in the early part of May and June there, they came back and became a nation for the first time, as God had predicted. But they didn't have the Temple Mount. They didn't get that till 1967 in the Six-Day War. Now, a lot of good prophecy preachers got really excited. I did myself. I was just starting out preaching then. In 1967, the Lord's coming soon. Well, I still believe he's coming soon. Now, that's about 40-plus years later. And so he's that much closer. Amen? And so it's good to understand some of those things. Most of you know the book of Ezekiel predicts a big war. Now, good Bible students argue about whether that war will come before the Jews have the tribulation period, or whether it will be in the tribulation period, or at the end of the tribulation period. It doesn't matter. We see the characters all lining up as is named in the book of Ezekiel. For instance, right now, Hamas is nothing more than a proxy for Iran. Iran is paying all the bills, supplying the weapons and all that. Well, Iran is Persia. You read in Ezekiel 36 through 38, the list of nations that's gathering against Israel, and Persia is the first one mentioned. And, of course, that is Iran today. Name change hardly 100 years old from changing the name from Persia to Iran. Anyway, all of it is in place. Very interestingly, that it's in place. Now, I heard one newsman, you know, there's a few, not many, but there's a few on Fox and a few others that know a little bit. I heard one the other day ask the question, he said, is Satan winning? Now, I've heard him a time or two, he don't know much, but he's seeing some things that's obvious. And he said, is Satan winning? The newsman he was talking to knew a little more. And he said, well, he is now, but he won't win in the end. And I thought, okay, here's a guy that might have read his Bible some. And he went on to say, the guy said, well, what's his end? He said, well, he ends up in the lake of fire. Now, that's Bible. Amen. And that's good. But so many of them know nothing about what God wrote, and they would not believe God wrote this stuff ahead of time, but he did. And as we dig into it a little bit, I'm going to say just a little bit about it this morning. The timing of the attack, they said, why? Why did they attack on the religious days? Well, they attacked on Sukkot. That is, of course, a seven-day feast that they're going through. Now, this is kind of important times, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit. I hope to not mix you up too bad. Go home if you are interested in study the feast days. There's seven of them listed in Leviticus chapter 23. Then when we get to Leviticus chapter 25, it'll talk about the one that's really important and interesting to me right now in the news. And, of course, that will be the day of Jubilee. Now, a lot of talk about the Jubilee. Back in the slave days in America, when they had harvesting the crops out on the plantation and the big farms, and some of you may remember this, and of course it's a song that's been used, but you'd hear the workers out in the field singing, Jubilee is coming. Well, Jubilee was the day of freedom, day of liberty for the Jews. And so the slaves use that, speaking of the day they would be free. The Jubilee is coming. And they knew a little bit, because in the so-called master's religion, they'd get to go to church, and they'd hear the preacher talking and all that, but they appropriated that to themselves. And such things as when the Jews were in captive into Egypt, and Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Well, that became a theme of this of the days, speaking of their freedom. Now, that was to the Jews. Of course, we understand that. The Day of Jubilee is still important. I can't remember all the song words of the song, but Brother Bert might could, but quite a bit in there. I don't know if he wrote it or not, but and I'm joking at him now, but the truth is there were some words that went like this. They'd say, "Jubilee is coming. The master says, ha ha." And we, talking about the slaves, would say, and we say, "Ho ho, let it come. Jubilee is coming." And of course, it's kind of interesting if you hear some of the old stuff, the way it was done. There was a very famous black preacher by the name of John Jasper. John didn't have any formal education. He worked as a young man as a slave. But then he claimed, and apparently so, that God allowed him to look at the Bible and read it. He said a light would shine on the page. No, he couldn't read anything else, he said, but he could read the Bible. The big gripe about John Jasper's preaching was that the black folk would complain because the white folks came and crowded the building out to where they couldn't get in. He was quite the preacher. He's the one you've heard me say. He said, "Now when I get to heaven, the Lord, the angels are going to come by and say, 'Hey, John, you want to see your mansion?'" He says, "Yes, I do." "John, you want to see your loved ones?" "Yes, I do." "John, you want to see your golden sandals?" "Yes, I do." "Well, what then?" "But I want to see Jesus first." And that was attributed to John Jasper. And out of those days, for years and years, God's people that had been in bondage, whether it was in America or England or all, and slavery was all over the world. You got to remember that before it ever got to America. But this song meant something. Even though it was given to the Jews, the Jubilee was coming. People that wanted that liberty use that word, Jubilee. Get off of that and say this. The timing of the attack here was on Sukkot. This is a very important season. Let me say this. The trumpet was blown here a few days ago on what's called Yom Kippur, one of the feast days of the Jews. Now, that trumpet was blown to announce that we're finishing up 7 times 7 years, 49 years. That we'll begin next year, which would start, and I'll probably repeat this, which would start on our month. We've got to remember the first month given to the Jews as you study the Bible was the first month was Nisan or Nisan. And that would be March and April. Part of each one of our 2 months would fit right in there. That would be the time. So the 50th year of Jubilee will start next year around the end of April, April 22nd or something. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. It will be the 70th Jubilee since Joshua led the people into the promised land. 70 jubilees. Now, what is a jubilee? It's the 50th year. How many years has that been? Are you good on third grade arithmetic? Follow me on this then. What is 70? What is 70 times 50? 3,500. 3,500 years. All right, we're going to play with that just a moment. 3,500 years from the time Joshua led the people out. In other words, they've celebrated every 7 times 7, 49 years, and then the next year is the 50th year, the next year is the Jubilee. All right, it'll be 70 of those when this next one starts here in a few months. So we're saying 70 times 50 is 3,500 years. Got it? 1,500 of those years was from the time Joshua led the Jews out of Egypt into the Canaan land. And you remember, he took over for Moses. God didn't let Moses go in the promised land because he disobeyed on speaking to the rock. You remember the story? So Joshua led them out into the promised land. That's been almost 1,500 years up to the time of Christ. Not the birth of Christ, but the crucifixion and the resurrection. A lot of folks want to count everything from the birth of Christ. The birth wouldn't have mattered if he had arose from the dead. The big date is the crucifixion and the resurrection, the purpose for which he came. All right, we got 1,500 years from the time Joshua led them out until the resurrection. Now, if you look on your calendar, and we know our calendar's not right, and there's 2 or 3 calendars you can go by and all that, but God's keeping one that's accurate, and man had messed it up. So, by Jewish time, going up to the time of the resurrection of Christ would be 1,500 years. That still leaves 2,000 years that we're counting now. We're counting 2020, almost 24. So you take the 3,500 years and roughly the 2,000 from a little more than 2,000 from the time of the resurrection. You get it together and you finish off the 70th Jubilee, the 70th times 50. 50th year is the Jubilee year. So what does that mean? Well, it's to the Jews. I agree. The feast days are to the Jews. But most biblical scholars believe that they're have the feast days of Israel also have a counterpart. Now, I'm not showing you a lot of scripture here because of taking the time. Y'all in trouble. I can't half read that digital clock back there. I like the big old round one. The big. Anyway, I'm trying to watch that so I can conclude this without leaving you hanging. But come back here with me a little bit. We're about to start. If we were Jews, it'd be very important. If you were an Orthodox Jew celebrating the Passover and other things, you would recognize this is a big time on their calendar. The 70th. God deals with Israel in numbers quite a bit through the Bible. 40 years. 40 years in circles in the wilderness. 40 years of judgment. God also dealt with 70 years when he took the Jews away into Persia. In the book of Daniel, 70 years of the captivity. God deals in sevens. He deals in so many different ways, and the numbers are really a wonderful study if you dig into it deep. But the 70th year, 70th Jubilee, 70th 50, is about to start, and I could be off a few days, but I believe it's around April this coming 24, next year. It was announced, the trumpet had to blow on the 49th year to announce, get ready for the Jubilee, get ready for the 50th year. That was big. That was when they returned to their own possessions. That's when everything had to be returned to the family. And their liberty was proclaimed through the land. If you go up to Philadelphia on our Liberty Bell, Leviticus 25:10 is on it. If you go down to Bartow and see our Liberty Bell, proclaim liberty throughout the land. You know, when the Lord Jesus comes back, it's going to be liberty for Israel. Look at it with me. I have to skip what I was going to read in chapter 23 for time. If you'll go chapter 23, you can count every one of the 7 feast days. Now, if you'll turn over to Leviticus 25, again, we look at down at verse 8. You'll number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, and then it tells you the arithmetic. Here's the answer to it. 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. 7 times 7. Then you move down to verse 9. Then shall thou cause the trumpet of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, that's one of the feast days, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all the land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. That's our Liberty Bell statement. Got right in the Bible. Our forefathers believed the word of God, didn't they? Unto the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. And the jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow nor reap that which groweth of itself, nor gather the grapes sown on the rules of the jubilee. Now, I'm saying to you that as I look at the Bible, look at current events, look at the evil increasing all everywhere, and the attack on God everywhere you look, and see then that God is not taken by surprise. Israel might have got taken by surprise, but God has not. And what he has written is getting very, very close upon us. Now, say, well, they celebrated the Jubilee year when the Jews came out of Egypt. But if you want to fine-tune that just a little bit, Israel has been scattered among the nations from the time they were taken away into captivity for the 70 years under Cyrus the Great, and when Cyrus, the Jews got excited because when Trump was in office, they said he was the second coming of Cyrus because he recognized the Jewish embassy, which was a right thing to do, and which made all the enemies of the Jews very, very mad. And really, the devil really got loose over that. But these are times when things are happening to fulfill ages of prophecy that was written. Now, in the day of Jubilee, they were dwelling, this is Sukkot now, where they're at now, where they were hit here on the holy day. You remember when they came out of Egypt, they had to travel like it was light. They had to travel overnight. So they had tabernacles built or temporary tents as they moved. So the Feast of Tabernacles was to celebrate that time when they came out as captive and they traveled in the temporary buildings. I remember a number of years ago when we in Russia and the underground church was doing what we would call a youth camp for their kids in the summertime. I think this would be a good idea. We'd have saved a lot of money if we'd have done this on our camp. They gave them all little temporary tents and they traveled. Their camp was to travel and go by the Bible and every night pitch their own tent. That'd save a lot of stuff. But anyway, they were copying what the Jews had done when they left Egypt. Now, here's another fine-tune that just a little bit. The Jews have been scattered and pretty well ruled by the Gentiles from those days on. Now, in June 67, when we got excited over the Six-Day War, we got excited because in that battle, Israel won and was able to come back to the Temple Mount. And we all, older folks here, watched on TV for the first time when the Jews went to the Wailing Wall, when the general Moshe Dayan came in and said, "We'll never leave." This was historical, big deal. That's why we were excited way back then, and still are excited about that. That was commemorating something. Now, when Jesus comes back, it'll be the time when the Jews have come away from the Gentiles like they came away from Pharaoh in Egypt. But if you read the story, you remember Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Remember that? what happened with Israel when you study. He left home because Esau was after him and all that stuff. And then you remember where he went. He went to Laban, didn't he? Laban, he lived with him. He married his daughters, remember? Remember how he got the wrong one first? And had to earn a stay in slavery, as it were, to Laban for another 7 years to get the right one. Well, then interesting thing is that when the Jubilee comes, Israel is going to be rescued, as it were, from the Gentiles. It is an interesting thing how the date seems to work out with the time that Israel leaves Laban, who was a Gentile. This is signified even again a repeat of when the Jews left the Gentiles in Egypt under Pharaoh. So the Feast of the Tabernacles is celebrating when the Jews are set free, their liberty, their time of liberty, the Jubilee of being set free. And coming out of Egypt, but also typified by Jacob leaving the Gentile Laban and coming out. Now, again, it's very interesting that the Jubilee will be the 70th. 70 times 50 again is 3,500 years. And if the math is right, we know it is, but if God is going by this thing, when the 50th Jubilee, which the trumpet is blown and liberty is proclaimed throughout the land, a lot of Orthodox Jews are excited about that. You and I as Christians ought to be excited that if God is fixing to finish, we ought to be excited if God is fixing to pick up and start with the Jews again, then he's fixing to close the church age. How does he close the church age? The rapture. There's no scripture in the Bible you can prove how much or how little time exists between the rapture of the church when the Lord calls his body and his bride home. Is there a time between that and the start of the tribulation? Could be. You can't prove it one way or the other. But if we see the signs coming that the tribulation period is about to start, the final 7 years with Israel, that the 50th Jubilee is about to happen, if we can see that God is fixing to pick up again, as Paul talks about in Romans, blindness in part has come to Israel, Romans chapter 11, when God starts to deal with the Jews again means he has closed the church age. That's what excites me, because I know how the church age closes. And I don't have to wait for anything else to happen. Now, what will be proclaimed as liberty for the Jewish nation coming out from under the yoke of the Gentiles, you and I are going to come out from under the yoke of the devil and of the depravity and sin that this world knows under the leadership of mankind. So while the whole world wants to know what the score on the ball game was and what's going on, I want to tell you, you and I as Bible believers got a right to be excited this morning. We don't know. We can't set a date. Wouldn't dare set a date. But I'm sure going to be excited between now and next April. And if somebody blows a car horn, I may look up. Now, I'm playing with you a little bit. But you know what makes Christianity real and fresh? Is for years and years, I've had the blessed hope the Lord's going to come back. And I'm excited about that. That don't mean I'm going to go out and climb a tree or get on a mountaintop and wait for him. I'm supposed to occupy till he comes. Keep on serving God. But I got a hope of being set free. My liberty is coming one day. Talking about I hurt my leg. Great day. These old bodies, I've worn this one out pretty good. And some of you have. I'm not going to fuss about getting reset, getting a new start. Somebody says, how are you doing? Well, this body not so good, but I got one that's perfect on the way, amen? So I left John this morning to talk to you just a little bit about this thing, because it's interesting in the news how the Bible is being fulfilled. And this time of the Jubilee is a redemption, restoration. It's a time of reset, we might say, a new start, set at liberty them that were captive. And so wonderful, wonderful truth is God is getting ready to do some restoring. And of course, the big key is that you've been the 50th year, the Jubilee year, also pictured redemption. Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? What saved the Jews coming out of Egypt? They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We talked about that a little bit last week. So if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what we're talking about, and that's important. Now, if you want me to, if you write fast enough, I'll list the seven feasts for you, and then you can go back in Leviticus chapter 23 and look them up and find every one of them. If you got a study Bible, it's liable to have a little caption between the scripture there. I'm not looking at a Scofield Bible. I'm using wide margin Cambridge, so mine's not listed here. But you find them in the text. Of the seven feasts, the first one, of course, is Passover. That commemorates the time of the lamb's blood being put on the doorpost in Egypt when the angel came over and spared God's people and took the firstborn of Pharaoh. You remember the story. That's the Passover. That's still practiced practiced in Judaism today, even though you heard me say it before, they cannot actually do it because God has forbid them now to use a lamb, because his final lamb was offered on the cross of Calvary, fulfilled what the Passover lamb always pictured. The second feast is the unleavened bread. Leavening is a type of sin, and when the Jews celebrated this, they had to fix bread that was unleavened. When we do the Lord's Supper in type, we try to use something that's not leavening, doesn't have the leavening in it. Leavening is a type of sin in the Scripture. That would be the second feast. Then the third feast would be the first fruits. The first fruits. Now, when they celebrate that feast, most of the Jews do not, if they're Orthodox Jews today, they don't understand the unleavened bread is talking about the sinlessness of Christ. They do not understand in the feast of the first fruits, what was Christ? He was the first fruits of the resurrection. And so what we're seeing then is even in the seventh feast of Israel, we're seeing pictures. Christ, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Christ our Passover. Christ was our Passover as Christians when he wrote to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 5. So we're seeing fulfillment. Now there's seven feasts, and we believe that the first four have already been pictured, and the last three is yet to be pictured. For instance, Pentecost, which was the 50th day, it fell on the morrow after the Sabbath. You have somebody arguing with you about worshiping on the first day of the week instead of the seventh day of the week, just point to them. The Pentecost pictured the morrow after the Sabbath. What was the morrow after the Sabbath? It was Sunday. It was the first day of the week. So don't let somebody confuse you on that a little bit. Pentecost. Then you had Rosh Hashanah, and that's the one we get excited about because that's the fifth one. After the first four seem to have already been fulfilled in shatters of the Lord Jesus, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of the Trumpets. When the trumpets sound, and of course on Rosh Hashanah they sound it also, they're saying look out for the 50th year, it's on the way, it's right away. Then on the course the Day of Atonement would be Yom Kippur. And of course that's talking about our redemption, talking about the atonement for sin being made. And then finally, the Feast of Tabernacles, which I already explained. That's when Israel came out of Egypt and traveled in tents in the wilderness for 40 years. Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkoth, Sukkot, as they call it. Now, that pictures the return at the second advent, not the rapture, but the coming in glory in Revelation chapter 19. Got me? When the Lord comes back from heaven on the white horse, leading the armies of heaven, he comes back. You read the book of Zechariah, and you find he has to come back because, just like we're seeing in the news now, the armies of the world are encircling Jerusalem to annihilate them on the Antichrist. He'll have his kingdom going then, which means the church has already been called out before that. That's why we preachers can get a little excited. I was talking to Brother Parsons there this morning. We got a right to get excited because we know that rapture could come today, any minute. Nothing else got to be done. And when we see these other things getting close that we know follow the rapture or after the rapture, that's why we got the right, I think, to be excited that we might be out of here soon. All right, don't get mad at me. I've preached this through the years one way or the other, and I've had folks say, I went to church and he made me feel bad. I'm not ready to face God. And Billy Sunday, the old evangelist, saved baseball player that won so many souls to the Lord, his preaching was pretty rough. Somebody said, Billy, you rubbed the fur wrong. He said, well, turn the cat around. And that's what I want to say to you. If you're scared when you hear about the second coming, turn the cat around. There's a whole pile of folks excited about it, looking for it. And if I could snap my fingers and say that was the signal God was waiting for, I'd snap them. Amen? I just get excited when I see the world events and the current news fulfilling my Bible and seeing that God's not taken by surprise. He knew all about it ahead of time, wrote about it ahead of time. And he gave it to us. Every answer you need's in the Word of God. When somebody starts the conspiracy talks and other things, evil men make plans, but what God says is true. And what's going to be in the Bible is truth. Stick by it, measure everybody else by it, no matter what I say or anybody else says. If it's not Scripture, you don't have to worry about it. The Word of truth in the Word of God. So I say to you, it is interesting days that we live in. The seven feasts, somebody said, well, Paul said don't observe the feast days. No, Judaism's not our religion. But God was giving us pictures that would be fulfilled. Christ, did he fulfill the Passover? He certainly did. He certainly did. He was our Passover. So these others will have their place. The Feast of the Tabernacles, that'll be the millennial reign of Christ on earth. When he comes back, and there'll be a day of liberty. He will elevate the nation of Israel in their repentance when they come back and recognize him as the Messiah. In the meantime, I feel sorry for the Jews over there under persecution like no race of people has ever been persecuted, and yet they're in darkness, blindness. I want to say, don't you see that Jesus was the Messiah? They will see him. Zechariah says they'll say, where'd you get the wounds in your hands and in your side? And he'll say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. John chapter 1, he came unto his own received him not. Here's the good news, but unto as many as received him. I received him one day. Have you received him? But unto as many as received him gave he power to become the sons of God. I stand before you as a son of God, not because I'm good, but because I got Jesus' goodness representing me, my substitute, the one that gave me his righteousness and paid for my unrighteousness. Amen? All right. I guess time's up, Brother Smith. Maybe a little more.